Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Let's see. Today's a big day for the following reasons. One is, we're reaching here. It's that time of year. The Quarterback on Netflix has dropped. You can watch that. Not right now, not during the show.
Obviously.
But later, you can watch that. So that has dropped. Two, we got Big 12 Media Days today. Three, Grizzlies play again tonight. And four, I had a four, Jeffrey. Oh, I know what it is. Tigers on tour at the Brookhaven Pub tonight. How about that? Tigers on tour tonight, and Penny will be amongst them, will be in the group. That's actually a nice thing that the Tigers do. They tend to be pretty well attended, and you get the coaches there, and they say interesting things. You got Tim Kramsey is going to be there from representing football. And Penny Hardaway will be again at Brookhaven. It's tonight from 6 to 8. So for all those reasons, I got plenty to send your way. We also have an interesting show today because Chris Herndon's going to join us as he does straight up at 10 o'clock. Very rarely actually straight up at 10 o'clock. We just say that. It's usually considerably after 10 o'clock.
We've been doing sometimes, better.
Sometimes well after 10 o'clock, but I say straight up at 10 o'clock because I know you'd be disappointed. You, the listener, would be disappointed if I didn't. And I aim to do better. As with all things all the time, I aim to do better.
I give you credit. You have done better.
Yeah. Well, one reason is there's been so much NBA to talk about. I like to get to Chris earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, can't wait to hear what he has to say about this. Now, that'll feels like we're getting to the end, a little bit of the NBA stuff, doesn't it? I mean, we got Summer League, thank God. And then we're going to have a little bit of a rest, it feels like to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So,
I mean, I suppose there's, you know, if someone can figure out another big trade, but I'm with you. It certainly feels like everything's kind of stabilized.
It feels like we're winding down. Anyway, we do have an interesting show today because, as I said, we have Chris Herndon straight up at 10 o'clock. And then I'm at the Faraway studio right now, and it's Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, and so we have Fish on Friday on Tuesday. And it so happens that we are in the same place. And so this may be it's an odd dynamic anyway, as we basically try to wrestle for the microphone from one each other for the full length of the segment. But today, we're going to be doing it from the same room with literally one microphone. So I have no idea how this is going to go, but we are going to attempt to do it. There may be fisticuffs.
I think we've tried this before.
And really?
I think we did. I think y'all were there last summer and we did it the same way. Yeah. And
worked fine.
It went better than expected.
Well, there you go. There is some accounting, by the way, that needs to be done from Fishman, because last week, I went back and listened to the segment that you did with him. And he said, and listen, Charles knows a hell of a lot about a hell of a lot. But he confidently predicted, and listen, far be it from me, I've made my own erroneous predictions over the years. And my own, like, I've been wrong about a lot of things, most notably Zach Randolph, but a lot of things. But last Tuesday, he confidently predicted, and I thought he was wrong when he said it, that the big, beautiful bill would not be ready to be signed by July 4th. And if you paid attention on July 4th, it was signed on July 4th. And I think it's one of these things where Charles just looked at the way that it has always been done, which is if Congress and the Senate disagree, they have to work that out. And they have to iron out their disagreements. So what happened was, is the Congress, House of Representatives had passed the bill, and then Congress passed the bill making substantial changes. And so normally you'd have to reconcile those and there would be some back and forth. And so I do understand why he said what he said, but this has been my view from the beginning. Whatever you think about Donald Trump, and there are some of you and I who have different opinions about Donald Trump, he gets things done in terms of people capitulate. They don't stand up. Like, you can have the House of the congressmen who say that they're deeply concerned about the budget deficit and they hate the bill. And one truth about Donald Trump is that everyone capitulates, certainly everyone in that party, because he is so wildly popular amongst Republicans, and still is amongst Republicans. And so when he is threatening to primary people, he's going to, if you don't pass the bill, people figure, you know what? I don't like the bill, but I like my job. And he'll be gone in 3 years, and I'll still have my job. And so they capitulate. They always do. And they did again. And so you had the beautiful bill being signed, the big, beautiful bill being signed on July 4th. Fishman could not have been more wrong. And there's not many times he is. Most times he knows a lot more about what he's saying than I do. But he was wrong on that one. And so I told him there would be a public accounting of that. And he appreciates that. He doesn't like it when we let things, you know, when we let things sit. He likes to bring things back around and tie things up that we've talked about sometimes 6 months before. So we'll do that. But we've got a lot of stuff to get into.
Jeff, he cares more about getting it right than being first.
Than being proven right. He wants the, and actually, it's one of the things that I do think that people underestimate about journalists. Serious journalists don't, in fact, just have agendas. Their agenda, more than most things, overall, this is about newspaper people who I have known in my life. And I've worked in newspapers for a long time. Their highest priority is being accurate and getting it right. Whatever it is that ultimately getting it right. And so, and that is certainly true of Charles. And so we will talk to him about that when he joins us in the second hour. So in terms of, but before that, Jeffrey, before any of that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
In terms of getting it right, we have a very avid follower who listener, and I appreciate all listeners, and this particular listener is also active on Twitter, and he calls me out or calls Harrington out. He's a big Grizz fan. And after watching Gigi go off for 27 points, if only it had been 28, by the way, but going off for 27 points, he said he was
I'd like the record to state I was glad it was 27.
Yeah,
I did not need five more minutes of that.
And the officials were too. They could have broken into triple figures in fouls. He said that Gigi was motivated because I called him a fraud. Now, I searched my memory. Yesterday, we had a conversation about Gigi Jackson, and I asked you this question. Ultimately, will he prove to be a valuable rotation player, winning basketball player for the Grizzlies, or will it either not happen or happen somewhere else? And I said, if you had to pick one of those two,
right,
it's certainly possible that he could become a winning basketball player for the Grizzlies. And I certainly hope he becomes a winning basketball for the Grizzlies. But if I was picking one of those two, given the track record over the first 2 years, and honestly, over his time at South Carolina, much as I lament this, I would pick two.
Yeah.
I regret it. In the same way that if you asked me if Zach Edey is going to become an all-star center, would I say yes or no? I'd say, well, I want him to be. I can imagine it. Do I think he'll ever make an all-star team or all-NBA? Probably not. Wouldn't you vote no on that as well?
The only hesitation I would have is if...
Centers are thin.
Well,
but the all-star team is positionless now.
Well, and if they went back to position, you know...
He could make it if they went back to positional voting.
Right.
And whatever, he could make it. He could become a dominant player in college. But would I predict that for him? I'd say no.
No, I think
but
it's what, you and I said this yesterday. We both said it was close, but you're better off betting no.
You're the safer. Yeah. Now, Chris
was a little more strong the other direction.
And I don't know if he voted yes. I just said he said coin flip. He said, I think he refused to say, but maybe I don't recall in that conversation calling him a fraud.
No,
but it's possible. I say a lot of words. I think he's a fraud.
If you really want, I can go and check the tape, but I do not recall you saying that.
Fraud pops up. It's possible that I said, well, maybe he's just proving to be a fraud,
but I told you this, I was on this camp. I recognized this a lot sooner, I think, than everybody else. Chris was there with me as well, though. If you had some opinion during Gigi's rookie year of, man, this is great, I'd rather see this than not, but if I think this means he's going to be an all-star, I'm not putting a lot of stock into it, and then you immediately got like labeled a hater, and then people would say that like you don't believe in him. It's like no, I don't believe that playing on a bad team that nobody's actually like trying against, I don't think that is significant data.
It is true. I mean, Chris was labeled a hater, right? A Gigi hater, not based on our conversation yesterday, but based on he would bring up what ultimately proved to be true, which he would bring up. Like, he is a net negative as a basketball player when he is deployed for the Grizzlies last year. And ultimately, that's what got him benched, you know, despite the injuries, despite everything.
Jeff, you can make the argument.
Despite the lack of athleticism that they clearly had.
As great as he was scoring last night.
He got benched.
Well,
so,
on the final play, they went right at him.
So, well, we'll get to last night here in a moment.
Yeah.
So Chris was labeled a hater for just saying, let's not get ahead of ourselves. If you thought Gigi was an indispensable, untouchable in trade conversations, whatever else,
yeah,
that's probably a surefire, you know, all-star. That's probably getting ahead of yourself. Everyone can see. I mean, he is a joy. Some of the plays he makes are just incredibly dynamic, athletic. You can see the gifts that he has. And it's not just that. When he's rolling, he's also fun.
Yes, absolutely.
He's super fun on the court, off the court, and so
he's so athletic.
Gosh,
and he does things that make you go, wow.
You hope like hell, but then he's funny. He's self-effaced. Like he's one of the best when he's on and in a good mood and happy. He's one of the most compelling personalities, and this is ultimately an entertainment business. He's got a good name. Like he plays the drums. You want it to work out for Gigi. And very clearly, but it has not so far. Chris pointed out he's still, even after 2 years, incredibly young. It is interesting, though, Jeffrey. The conversation that I had with Chris, again, we'll get to the last night here in a moment. The conversation that I had with Chris yesterday about, are his deficiencies, have they been physical? Have they been mindset? Whatever. And and I think it's hard to pin down. Like, your ability to be an effective defender depends very clearly on A, physical tools, and B, willingness, right? Are you willing? Is this something you have embraced? But then in addition to that, there is something instinctive about it.
And I was going to say, feel was the other word that came to mind.
Yeah, feel. And it's the same thing on offense. Like, it's do you have, I mean, let's be honest, Marc Gasol was no, you know, he wasn't Twinkle Toes out there, right? No. But Marc Gasol, he saw the court. He turned himself into a very effective offensive player as opposed to the lumbering bear that people expected him to be because he had feel. So,
and I think it's why Marc was a great defender.
And why Marc was a great defender. Same thing. Is it something that is instinctive or something that is, in other words, I analogized it to, or is it something that's physical, but we don't consider it that way the same way do running and jumping. So for example, if you're a quarterback and you got a big arm and you're athletic, but you don't have the ability to read defenses and to know where to go with the ball instinctively, is that something that is purely learned and shows a, you know, Paxton Lynch didn't spend enough time studying kind of thing? Or is it also a physical skill that has to do with processing and vision? And it just doesn't look like a physical skill the same way throwing a ball a million miles an hour does.
So I think the simple answer is it can be learned because we've seen guys where they look lost forever and then it clicks and then they go on to have, you know, phenomenal careers. I mean, think about how lost Eli looked like that first year with the Giants, and then it kind of clicked a little bit in year two, and then he kind of had a setback in year three, but year four it was like it just kind of clicks.
But don't you also think there's some people who are savants and it comes naturally to, and other people
100%
will never come to?
Like,
you
well, can, like, you can, I, we can even use, like, I think it comes naturally to Joe Burrow. I really do. Like, when you watch him and you watch his feel, the way he's moving defenses, he was doing it as a rookie. I don't think it came naturally to Josh, but I do think Josh, through reps, experience, playing a lot, I do think Josh learned to anticipate and see the field better.
Okay, but take Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Like, is Jameis Winston, it never is going to, like some people, so I do Jameis, think, Jameis it never is, will come.
Jameis
some,
is,
maybe well, he's the wrong example.
No, Jameis
don't you
is aggravating.
Some people are incapable
yes,
of learning it?
Yes, 100%. Like, Jameis is aggravating because if you watch, like, let's say Jameis has 60 offensive snaps. Jameis knows what to do with the football about 75 to 80% of the time. Where Jameis gets in trouble is that he's just an unbelievable risk taker. And he believes so much in his arm. It's not necessarily he doesn't know what he's looking at. It's that he always just takes high-risk play versus that's. It's kind of the same thing with when I get labeled the Herbert hater. The frustration that I have with Herbert is when if you just need somebody to make an unbelievable once-in-a-game throw, well, yeah, Herbert's a great bet. But when you need the guy just to get, like, 6 yards and just keep it moving – well, like, all he's trying to do is just throw a fastball as hard as he can. So that's kind of where feel comes into it as well. It's more than just knowing where to be, where to go. It's kind of knowing also, like, what you're supposed to do when you get there.
I guess my larger point is that I think for some athletes, they'll never get it, right? They'll never.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
They will never get it because, but here's the thing. We don't know, for someone particularly as young as Gigi, you don't know how much of it is their mindset and their maturity and their willingness and how much of it is an inability to do it, right? And so, and I think when you have someone as young as Gigi is and someone who has honestly shown previously that his mindset is a little off in terms of his priorities. You know, he pouts when he's not getting minutes. He has shown himself. It's not just that he is young. He has shown himself to be immature. And weirdly enough, those things to me are positives because they mean that, oh, well, if he just gets older and has a willingness to really embrace this, then there is a real chance for change. To me, it would be more troublesome if he'd been willing to embrace it all along and still was as bad as he was defensively at the end of the year last year. It's actually good news that, maybe he's immature, because then you can mature and then maybe that will get better. And so that is the hope for Gigi. Obviously, last night, he was the headliner. First, because the game came down to his last second shot, a runner. It was really quite after a horrible mess of a game, it really turned out to be kind of a thrilling conclusion. Cam hits a three to bring the Grizzlies within one. Bryce Sensabaugh then travels.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, opening the door here. Grizzlies then turn it over. Sensabaugh gets fouled. Great play by Sensabaugh, honestly. Hits two free throws, and all of a sudden, by the way, Sensabaugh had 37, setting a Jazz summer league record. Anyway, that made it a three-point game, and ball finds its way to Gigi, who hits a runner, and there is no way to know, really, if it was a three-pointer or a two-pointer. The officials, having realized that it's summer league and realizing already that they'd already called 77 fouls, they sensibly called it a two-pointer. There was not enough to overturn it. The game ended. Were you able to discern one way or another, three or two?
So I was not. I mean, I made the joke right when we first started watching that this game looked like it was broadcasted in standard def. My wife said, this looks like when we watch Pepperdine Baseball on ESPN Plus, and she's like, there's like that one camera. So every angle I saw, I did not know how you could definitively say one way or the other. There was never like an overhead cam that showed where his foot was. The pixels, like, could you really tell the difference between the floor and the line? I couldn't.
No. So there was no way.
And I thought matter. Whatever they called on the floor was going to stand.
Yes. Happily, it did not matter. The Grizzlies go down to defeat 112 to 111. Tonight, they got the Sixers at 6 p.m. It was a mess of a game. 77 fouls called. Just ridiculous. Took 2 hours and 20 minutes. And so the good news is the players who should be part of the Grizzlies rotation, once again, put up numbers anyway. Jalen Wells didn't shoot it once again. He was 6 of 18, 4 of 11 from 3. Gets to the line, though. The last game, it was 7 of 7 from the line.
He was doing a phenomenal SGA impression.
He was doing a lesson learned from the best.
Yep.
You know. And so he finishes with 18. Cam Spencer, what's your level of confidence when he puts up an open three?
Pretty high.
Luke Kennard high?
Maybe not quite Luke, but like close.
Desmond Bane high? The thing about Luke was,
well, he only really shot open ones because like he didn't create.
Well, and then there were big moments where he would miss. Like there were, it felt like there were some, like if Luke was on, then my confidence was 100%.
Yeah, you kind of knew if Luke was feeling it.
Yeah, but Cam Spencer, I'm pretty damn high. And last night, 7 of 10, 23 points. So he did what he does. And then Gigi Jackson with 27, and a pretty efficient 27 as well. He was 11 of 18 from the line. And he had, in addition to just good numbers and the great play, like he had some sequences.
Yeah.
There was one sequence was he was guarding the inbounds under the basket. He goes down, blocks a shot, and then he comes sprinting back and finishes at the other end for the end one. Like, you're like, damn. And this is why I think the reason that people, you know, want so much for Gigi and have gotten ahead of themselves so much on Gigi, I think everyone has pretty much reined it back in as they've seen how last year went. But the reason was, is because it's exhilarating. like when the dude, when you see moments from him, it is absolutely exhilarating. So if you could get that all the time and couple it with just average defense, you would have a hell of a contributor.
I think it's simply because, yeah, like, sometimes it's just as simple as, like, he looks the part.
He certainly looks the part.
And he looks the part in the type of player that we don't really see.
And then he jokes again. He's funny. He said, I told Grind City Media afterwards, he said the problem was his foot injuries have changed him from a size 14 to a size 15. And so that's why his foot was on the
line. So is he confirming it was on the line?
He was not objecting. Meshack, by the way, did get his first action as a Grizzly.
An all-time debut.
Just the best.
10 fouls.
Just the best.
That's awesome.
He had 6 fouls in the first half. And, of course, Summer League, you get 10. But you only get 10. You don't get 11. And he used all 10. Used all 10. Did have, by the way, in addition to the 5 points and 4 rebounds and 2 steals and 10 fouls, did have 9 assists.
Yeah, I mean, he was close to an awesome double-double.
He was close to a just phenomenal double-double, but sadly could not get it. And that's what we lost by not sending this in overtime. Oh, of course, it didn't matter. He fouled out. Yeah, so anyway. So there you go. We got that from Meshack. It is a Utah team, a Utah Summer League team. There's no shame in losing to this particular Summer League team because they got a lot of hell. Their roster is a Summer League roster. I mean, Filipowski's on it. Cody Williams is on it. Walter Clayton Jr. was terrible last night, but he's on it. Like, they're loaded with first-round draft picks on their Summer League team because they are tanking. And let's be honest, they don't want to win this year either. We did get to see Ace Bailey, who was not very good when he went up against VJ Edgecombe and the Sixers earlier this week. But he showed, there were moments last night, same thing. You look at Ace Bailey, same way you look at Gigi Jackson, and you see some moments are like, okay, I see this. I see what, and of course, again, with Ace Bailey, his ability to do some spectacular things has never been in doubt. His ability to be a winning basketball player has been in doubt. But he was good last night with 18.7 rebounds and 3 assists. Anything else that you took from last night's extravaganza?
I think the biggest takeaway is, to me, I'm not as all locked in on Summer League as the development thing. So for me, the biggest part was Jalen, Gigi, and Cam, the guys that are likely to the Grizzlies right. to count on at some point. They all looked like, okay, these guys are the best players here.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back here in a moment. The Baylor news broke after our show yesterday, so we may talk about that a little bit. Also, The Athletic has a ranking of the 100. Who knew they could get to 100, Jeffrey? 100
best
rivalries.
They did have to stretch a little bit.
They did have to stretch just a smidge, but we will talk about that as well. And then Chris Harrington, straight up, 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, before then, I will tell you, if you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union is the place to go. Claire literally is thinking maybe she might buy a house for her kids. And so she called them the other day about a mortgage. And here's the thing. Whether you're looking for a mortgage or whether you're looking for a car loan or maybe you're just sick of your bank nickel and diming you, Leaders Credit Union is a place that I would urge you to, at the very least, look into. You can download the app. They got an unbelievable app. And what you'll find is the service is great. The technology is great. The options that the rates are great. We have been really impressed by everything about Leaders. And they have, if you'd like to walk into a branch, you can do that in Bartlett or in Arlington. Arlington, they got a brand new branch in Arlington. But if you download the app, it's leaderscu.com/ESPN to just check it out. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Talkins, your 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking of getting engaged, Robert Owen Jewelers is the place to go for a whole lot of reasons. They're just incredibly enthusiastic. They will help you through the process. They've got stunning diamonds. Ask Jeffrey. Ask Aaliyah. They're just absolutely stunning diamonds and rings that they can produce. Whatever you can dream, they can produce. But here's the thing. Best time to do it is right now during the Summer of 1,000 Engagements, because you can save up to 40% off plus for a limited time. Free Yeti Tundra Cooler. That'll come in handy, won't it? Proposals need ice, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is delivering ice in more ways than one. Spend $24.99 or more, and you get a free Yeti Tundra Cooler. Plus, of course, you get the peace of mind guarantee. So you buy your loose diamond or a custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and for any reason, and this takes all the pressure off the purchase, honestly, because it is a pressurized purchase, I will tell you that. You just want to get it right. If for any reason, for 365 days, you want to return it, you can, no questions asked. Kind of remarkable. Plus, they got great financing options. Pick up to 60 months to pay. Again, it's Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the Summer of 1,000 Engagements. Spend $24.99 or more and get a free Yeti Tundra Cooler. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. All right, Jeffrey, the news did drop about the Tigers schedule in Baylor. How about that? That's a nice get. That's a nice get. And here's a home schedule, Jeffrey. Ready? Here's the home. Because they're going to that four-year series is going to start with a home game. Thank God. You got University of San Francisco, you got UNLV, you got New Orleans, you got Southern Illinois, you got Baylor, you got Vandy.
So, to me, like, it is the makings of a very like solid schedule. I guess you have the headliner with Baylor, though. I think the only thing people would be disappointed is, like, you know, even though Vanderbilt's technically regional, I think people would like to see the, you know, the regional SEC big school. But overall, like,
let's be honest, the non-conference road schedule is dramatically better.
Right.
And happily, those will flip around. Like, you're playing Louisville on the road this year, but you're going to get them at home. So you got Louisville, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Utah State. And then in the Bahamas, you will play
Purdue. I think Texas they open Tech. With Purdue, right?
Yeah, Purdue. So, I mean, that's Louisville, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Utah State, and Purdue, and then either Texas Tech or Wake. Like, it's a very good. And if that was your home schedule, you'd be celebrating, right? You'd be happy to be a ticket rep with that home schedule.
Absolutely.
And you'll get them. But right now, the nice thing is the team they added becomes the headliner.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're looking at terms that right now Lenardi says will go to the tournament, you got two at home, Baylor and Vandy, and then you got Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Purdue on the road, one either on the road or a neutral in the Bahamas. So that's a great get for Penny and the Tigers. Penny continues to get it done. So that is fabulous. We were just like, is there much juice to Memphis and Vandy? That brings us to the subject of rivalries, and it brings us to the subject of the Athletic's list of 100. Yes, the 100 best football rivalries. Now, you can argue, Jeffrey, that it gets a little thin towards the end. Can we agree with that?
Oh, I thought there were some very curious choices.
Okay. So number 100, LSU, Mississippi State.
Is that a rivalry?
I don't think it is at all.
Just because you play regularly, I do not.
Right. No, I don't think it's a rivalry at all. How about, okay, 99. I'm not going to go through them all, but just like, let's see here where we get to our first real rivalry. Is Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky a rivalry?
I'd have to ask.
I'm not an expert.
The Red Raiders and the Hilltoppers.
Me too. Is Arkansas, Missouri a rivalry?
You know, it's not like the biggest one for either one, but when they play, you can tell the fan bases are close enough that there's some animosity. So I'm not, it's a newer one.
I actually think you get to the real rivalries at 97, which shows that there are rivalries. Because listen, it's been diminished because they're not in the same conference anymore. But isn't UCF, USF a rivalry at 97?
The War on I-4? I mean, it's got a name.
War on I-4?
It has to be. Yeah. It's got a name.
It's got a name. No, well, hold on. Battle of the Bones has a name. Is it a rivalry? Because what you notice about one thing that strikes me about this list of 100 best rivalries is Memphis is not on it.
So, period. So I believe
Battle of the Bones has a name, I don't think it's a rivalry.
Okay, so I blame
hoops.
I blame UAB because while it's not the biggest of the Tiger rivalries, the UAB game at least still has a little bit of juice in basketball. In football, it is just absolutely nothing.
It is absolutely nothing. It's just not. It's manufactured. Okay. Is there any Memphis game? And this, by the way, highlights the problem part of the problem that they're up against. Is there any Memphis game that you would put on the list?
Okay. I think people are going to roll their eyes, but I stand by it. And I think this is part of the changing landscape. I think Memphis Tulane's becoming a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
I think it's becoming one. And they're going to keep playing as long as they're in this league. They're going to keep playing the important games.
I can sign on with becoming, but if you're asking yes or no, is it a rivalry? Oh, you guys get fired up for an important game is not the same as a rivalry.
Okay, but
a rivalry has to have some roots, some tradition, some history. And honestly, I think of Memphis and Southern Miss, which doesn't exist anymore and wouldn't not matter now. Like Memphis has had rivalries very clearly when Memphis and Louisville, now that was just a spillover from basketball, but when they were in the same football conference, that was a rivalry.
Absolutely.
It went away. Let me ask you this. Was Memphis UCF a rivalry?
It was certainly getting there. Now
it was more of a rivalry than Memphis and Tulane has ever become. There's no question about that. That was becoming a real rivalry.
But was Memphis,
I don't know, Memphis
SMU?
Cincinnati was ever? Was Memphis Houston? There's some bad blood. Get Gabe talking about Houston. There's some bad blood with Memphis Houston once. Like there were some potential rivalries. And that's, you know, the nice thing was is they mattered in football and basketball, like Houston and Louisville and Cincinnati, all of them. I don't know that Cincinnati was ever much of a rivalry. They played in a conference championship game, though. So it's fun. Like it highlights really part of the problem that Memphis football has.
Fun games.
They are not on this and they should not be on it. So that's a problem. But here we get to 97. And from there on, I'm not going to go through them all, but UCF, USF, New Mexico, New Mexico State. I mean, I don't know, but it's got the word New Mexico in both of those. Sounds like a rivalry to me. I can see how Richmond, William Mary would be. I think we're into rivalries. By the time we get to 97, what's fraudulent? Okay, here's one that's fraudulent. I'll give you one that might be fraudulent.
Yeah, ready? I mean, just saying the MAC conference itself, that's pretty much
a
cop-out.
That's a little bit of a cop-out. 93 is Williams Amherst, though, man. They go at it. So here you go. Here's one that they call a rivalry that I don't know is much of a rivalry, but you tell me. UT Vandy at 80.
So in terms of college football, I vote no, but I do think UT and Vandy have pretty good rivalries in the other sports.
Yeah, but this is a football rivalry.
I know, that's the problem.
And Vandy's won some now, right?
Yeah, but like, I mean,
it's, even, it's, It's not, I don't, it's hard to call it a rivalry when one of the schools so to the other school is a disaster, yes. Right?
And, well, let's be real. Well, when they play, nothing is on the line other than Tennessee's just hoping.
But let me ask you this, though. Does Notre Dame Army a rivalry or Notre Dame, like that one school losing the other is a total disaster? Notre Dame Navy?
This is the problem that I struggle with. I fundamentally agree that Notre Dame is, if not the biggest brand, it is in the conversation. But like when I sit there and say like Notre Dame's biggest rival is, like I know people will say, well, USC, but it's like, I don't know. Like that game's going to be, we'll get into the top
Michigan's
five.
Michigan's pretty big now. Is Michigan even being played though?
But like they stopped playing that game, I don't know, five, 6 years ago, maybe a little bit more.
Used to be. you get to some doozies, though, like deep into this list. You get to, I mean, Virginia and Virginia Tech, they don't like each other, right?
Now, for sure.
UNC Duke is 77. That's a basketball rivalry, obviously. Neither program cares about their football program, so I don't know that I can count that. All right, how about this one? 75, Tennessee-Kentucky.
Death taxes, Tennessee beats Kentucky.
Is that but Kentucky is not that Kentucky anymore.
And death to, like, as bad as like that's always my deal. It's like one of my favorite bets of the year. No matter it's how bad, like even when Kentucky's better, Tennessee still beats them.
How about this for a rivalry deep in our list of 100? Notre Dame Miami, Catholics versus convicts, 56.
But like part of this is both schools like holding up their end of the bargain. And like Miami's just been kind of like waffling for so long. Like now you think that they're better, but I mean, I guess just because there's a little bit of history, but like, is that the game that I'm locked
so
in
you don't
on?
I mind it being 56. Yeah. It's not really. It's not. No,
one that
not
I think is
right
one that
now.
I think is way too low. LSU, yeah. Florida.
Well, I was going to get to that. I'm getting to the and any we're moving up the list. So how about Tennessee, Georgia at 53? You got Tennessee, Georgia at 53 and Alabama, Georgia at 50.
So I was saying that this is the problem with a lot of Tennessee's biggest rivalries is a lot of these big games go in massive waves of one team dominates for an extended period of time. And it's like Tennessee dominated that series for an extended period of time. Now Georgia does. And it's just like, The lack of competition hurts it in my view.
All right, and that brings us to LSU Ole Miss is at 43. I think that people don't, and I certainly didn't before I moved to Memphis, right? Before I saw it, people don't appreciate how deep that rivalry is. But let me ask you this. So that's LSU Ole Miss is at 43, and the Egg Bowl is at 23.
So
should they be closer together?
Ole Miss fans like to say LSU is their biggest rival to pick at Mississippi State. But by the same token, LSU fans would say Alabama is their biggest rival to pick at Ole Miss fans to, you know, not grace them with the same thing. I think those are actually kind of appropriately ranked. The other issue with the Egg Bowl is the Egg Bowl kind of peaks when they're, it peaks during Freeze and Mullen because both brought out the worst in each's fan bases. And so it just became this like giant, toxic, like pure hatred, which was brilliant television, to be clear. But now there's obviously always just going to be animosity because of proximity. But it's just, I don't know, man. That game just doesn't have the same juice that it even did like in the 90s.
Well, here's a game that doesn't have as much juice as it used to. And this ranks ahead of, so LSU Ole Miss is at 43. UT Florida is at 36.
Yeah, I will say what was eye-opening about that game, the 2022 season when Tennessee kind of has their resurgence.
Right.
Seeing the Vol reaction when they got to beat Florida, it still makes you realize that game still matters.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting, you know, I mean, here we have Harvard-Yale, by the way, at 20. A lot of history there, although neither team really cares. So it's interesting.
I think both teams care. I don't know if either school cares.
Both fan bases. The fan bases don't care. Don't give a flip. I mean, literally, you can, if you poll the fan bases and ask them who won last year, most won't know. And so how is it, how much you're just going off of history there? And I just don't know how much.
And it's literally called the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be. I don't know that it should be 20. Here's some that did not make the top 10. Auburn, Georgia, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, UT. Are you okay with that? They're 17, 12, and 11.
So this is what George and I were talking about yesterday. I think the problem with these games are the series historically just gets so one-sided.
Right.
But I do think those are great. Like, if both teams were maxed out, those are great rivalries.
But you're exactly right. Alabama UT is a great rivalry, except it's not.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's the problem. It just hasn't lived up to it.
The one that annoys me the most, and this is one I think that's actually underrated. I said this yesterday. BYU Utah, as a casual college football fan that has no ties to either school, that is a phenomenal rivalry.
Because it's
at 28. But it has those makings of what makes a great rivalry. You have they're close in proximity, but you have the one school that's kind of the nouveau rich, spending all the money, and the other schools.
They got cultural issues that really complicated.
Yeah, and it's like it's as toxic as the Mormons can get, but like it is a phenomenal watch.
So the top 10, just to break it down here: Minnesota, Wisconsin at 10. Florida, Florida State at 9, Ohio State, Penn State at 8, Miami, Florida State at 7, Nebraska, Oklahoma at 6, USC, Notre Dame at 5, Army, Navy at 4, Oklahoma, Texas at 3, Auburn, Alabama at 2, Michigan, Ohio State at 1. Just take those two. Should Michigan, Ohio State be ahead of Auburn, Alabama?
So I'm okay with it right now because I used to kind of think, when I was like in middle school and high school, I always thought that game was pretty overrated. But the Harbaugh effect on that rivalry, and then last year watching Ohio State lose to Michigan and ponder the thought of firing Ryan
it's
Day.
It's been great.
Like that's
one that
everything we want in the sport. And like the fact that like Ohio State, they've won a national title and it's not entirely satisfying because of that
it's
game.
Just the best. Just the best. It's been magnificent. But you're right. It has profited from the last. It is less. I don't know that the hatred, though, is any deeper than Auburn, Alabama. You know, the intensity, I guess because it has national repercussions all the time now, maybe it's a better rivalry. But I don't know that the depth of feeling is any more intense. All right, we got a big second hour. We got Chris Harrington straight.
Well, we
got
to have one more. I can have one more complaint, please.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Nebraska, Oklahoma can't be sixth. They don't play anymore. That was a Big 8, Big 12 rivalry.
It was so great. And fact that it is in the top 10 to me is an indictment of college presidents, you know?
And
it's
also,
it should freaking exist. It's stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
And also,
but you're right. If it's on there, Memphis UCF should be on there.
Right. And Florida, I think Florida State's a better game than Florida State, Miami.
Okay. If you're thinking of selling your house, Josh Hysaw is the person to contact. And particularly if you're thinking about, listen, it's a tricky market. And you may be thinking about taking one of those instant cash offers because you get the calls. I get the calls all the time. Instant cash offer for your home. Make the process easier. Are you selling your home? Let's be honest. Those people are going to lowball you. They're going to give you much less than your house is worth. There are reasons to go ahead and take a cash offer for your home. You don't have to spend money fixing it up. You don't have to have open houses. You don't have to keep it spick and span. None of that. You don't have the suspense. And honestly, the way Josh Hysaw does it, you get 4 months to move. But it is what you do. If you contact Josh on the team at Keller Williams Realty, you can do it at joshhasthebuyers.com. joshhasthebuyers.com. Contact him. He'll come to your house. He'll size it up, and then he will give you an offer for the full market value of your home, unlike these other folks who are trying to lowball you. It's an easy way to sell your house. It's a convenient way to sell your house. So if that's the way you are going, Again, it's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Josh has the buyers.com. We got Fish on Friday coming up later on this hour. Chris Harrington coming up next. It is Jeff Calkins Show on a Tuesday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.